Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? A song ringing through the trees with a voice as big as the sea." With a voice as big as the sea. How do you know when the Christmas season has arrived? Well, there are a lot of ways. You can look on your calendar. You can count the shopping days. This week it's going to get really cold and we're going to begin to feel a little more Christmassy. Or you can take advantage of all of your senses. Because Christmas truly is a season for the senses. There are lights and decorations and colors all around you for everybody to see. I don't know what your neighborhood is like, but mine, every night, there's a different house that's added their lights and put up their tree and began to make their home look like the Christmas season. There's homemade fudge and divinity and all kinds of goodies for you to taste. You can smell the aromas of fresh pine and cedar, of spiced tea and scented candles. And then there are the sounds of Christmas. I can't wait for tonight. I am so excited that we're going to be together tonight and God is going to speak to us in a powerful way and we're going to hear from our choir and from this orchestra and from our instrumentalist, and you are going to go home thinking, God has blessed me at the very beginning of the Christmas service. And let me just share this with you. And if you have people you love and you say all the time, "Boy, I wish they just knew what God was doing at our church. This is a good time to bring them." And if you have people who love you, but they're a long way away and they can't be here, I think we're going to live stream tonight. Isn't that right? They can go to our website. Paula's brother goes to church with us every Sunday. So I guess I should say, "Hello, Charlie." So encourage him to be with us tonight at 6. And others that you love that are out of town or out of state, but you would love for them to experience what God is doing. I love the sound of Christmas. I'm one of those people who begins to listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving even comes around. I have so many CDs, and we had that discussion in the college party the other day. That's this little round thing that plays music. And I have literally hundreds of those things because I love the sounds of Christmas. Every year I look forward to the songs, "Silver Bells, Silver Bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow." I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. But better than that are the carols that we sing every year, "Angels We Have Heard on High. Oh, come, all ye faithful, silent night, holy night." Best of all is the sound of church at Christmas. As our choir leads us, as our congregation joins together, as we sing with one another the songs of Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. There's no better place for the ears than church during the Christmas season. It's always been that way. From the very beginning, the story of the birth of Christ has been the story of God's greatest message for those who have ears to hear, for those who are listening for the song that God sang when he sent his son. So I wonder, are you really listening this Christmas? Make sure that the story hasn't become so familiar that you take it for granted. Make sure you're not distracted by other things so you're only half listening when God is speaking. Let me remind you of what it was like to listen the way it was that very first time. So here's my question for you this morning. Do you hear what I hear? The refrain of Christmas began with a whisper. People began to hear a soft sound of God speaking during the time of Isaiah, about 700 years before the birth of Christ. It came just in time because people needed to hear a song of God's love and grace and mercy. The world was falling into darkness. The king was dead. The enemy was at the gate. Hope seemed far away. People had neglected the Lord, and now they were pretty sure God had forgotten them, but they never needed him more. And just at that time, the Lord began to reveal through Isaiah the first notes of what he was planning to do to save the world. The Bible says the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when they heard that refrain, people began to look at one another. Faith began to glimmer just a little bit again, and they began to say to each other, someday, someday, someday Messiah will come. It became something they said to one another. It was a part of their celebration of worship. Someday, someday, God's going to send a Savior. Someday, God's going to make things right. Someday, God's going to create a way for hope to come into the world. Someday, God will come. The melody of Christmas was sung to the most unlikely audience. You see, the melody came to a young lady in a little village called Nazareth. Her name was Mary. It was a name that just suited her because it was a simple name for a simple girl in a simple town. Nothing special about Mary, at least not on the outside. She was engaged to an ordinary carpenter named Joseph. Not a man of great wealth, not a man of great influence, but a man who loved her. There was absolutely nothing special about Mary, at least not if you looked at her. But if you could see her on the inside, now that was a different story. On the inside, Mary was a woman of great faith. On the inside, God found a spirit that hungered to be found pleasing to him. On the inside, Mary had a heart that was listening carefully to hear what God was singing into her life. And so it was Mary, chosen by the Almighty, to hear the melody of salvation. It was delivered by the archangel Gabriel, and this is what it said. Hail, O blessed one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Can you imagine what it was like to receive that message, to be the very first one? Oh, you've read it in the Bible before. You've heard it preached about before. You've probably shared it together, maybe in a circle at your very family. But can you imagine hearing the song of salvation, the melody of salvation, and it's being sung, and it's being sung just to you, not just sung to you, but sung to you by Gabriel himself, God's greatest messenger who came to bring the word that the world had been hungering to know. And it was simple Mary whose profound faith made her God's choice. She first heard the melody, but just as beautiful was the counterpoint that she sang in response to the angel's message. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. What do you do when you receive unbelievable words, unbelievable promise, unbelievable truth? All you can say is, Lord, here I am. If you can use me, use me. She heard and responded to the sound of God's promise in her life. If Mary heard God's melody, then it was Joseph the Lord chose to listen to the harmony. Joseph was a plain man in the same way that Mary was a simple girl. Joseph was a good and decent person. He was a carpenter who worked hard and did good work. Joseph spent his days in a workshop, a world of straight lines and right angles where everything fit together just the way he expected it to. Joseph was not used to things that went outside of the box. He didn't understand things like angel visits and heavenly promises. There was not much room for the supernatural in his very practical world. So when Mary came to Joseph and shared with him the melody of Christmas, he couldn't hear it. He couldn't receive it. He didn't understand. All Joseph really knew was that everything that his in his life seemed to have gone wrong. He heard the news of that Mary, the woman he loved, shared and was betrothed to, that she was with child. And the future he had planned for the two of them seemed to be lost forever. But then the Bible tells us something about Joseph, something we really need to understand. You know, he is an amazing character because he's not mentioned much in the Bible. Here he is, the man chosen by God to raise his only begotten son, and yet the Bible doesn't tell us much about Joseph at all. But this is something we understand from the stories of the gospel. Joseph was a man who practiced simple kindness. It was his nature. The Bible tells us that just when he found it impossible to believe what Mary was saying to him, he still chose to spare her public disgrace. He still chose to treat her with respect and kindness. He resolved to quietly break their engagement and then to try his best to pick up the pieces of his life and to go on. It's what you would do. It's what I would do as well. How could Joseph have known that God had already assigned him a place in salvation's song? It was a harmony that came to him in the night when an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and delivered a message from God Almighty. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Just in the way that a harmony supports a melody and makes the music richer, the message given to Joseph complemented and completed the declaration to Mary. To Mary, God promised a king. To Joseph, God declared that king would be a savior. Together, they were given the full story of what God was doing so that he could save his people. Melody and harmony combined to create a rich song of God's saving power. He was coming in human flesh, the King of creation, born into our world, but he was not coming to rule and to reign. He was coming to seek and to save. So what do we need to know on this very first Sunday in December? We need to know that God's love is the true song of Christmas. It's a song about people who are lost in sin and without hope in a dark and deadly world. It's a song about a Savior who came to bring the light and to redeem those lost people from their sin. It is a song that has echoed through the ages, a song of God's love for you and me. It's a song that you can hear in your own heart today if you're listening. Do you hear the song? Do you hear the song? It's a song of God's saving love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's song. But it's not real until it's personal, until it becomes God's song in your heart, God's song in your life, until you understand, as those we celebrated with together in the baptistry, that God didn't just love you and send his son. He loved you and he sent his son for you personally, with your name on his mind, with your face in his eyes, and on his lips, your name. Until you understand, God sent his son to save you. There came a day when I heard the song and I turned to Jesus and I was saved. And there are many people in this room today who can tell you about that day when they heard the song as though it were for the very first time, because for the first time it was very, very personal. And they said yes to Jesus. This morning there may be some gathered in this place who need to listen to God's loving, saving song. Because it's for you. And there is nothing you could do on this first Sunday in December as we begin our Christmas celebration that would be more important than to give your life to Jesus. So I ask you a very important question this morning. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the call of Jesus? We're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. If you're hearing that call, that song, that message of God's love for you, in just a minute as we stand and we sing our invitation hymn, you can come. I'll be here at the front. Rich will be here. Either one of us would love to introduce you to our Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, this is the church where God wants me to plant my life and my membership. I don't want to just come here. I want to be part of what God is doing. And maybe today you bring your membership to this place. Maybe there's something God is speaking into your heart. And you need to listen. And you need to come. Maybe come to the front to speak with one of us. Maybe come to the altar. But you need to come. To share, to hear, to sing the song of Jesus. Do you need to come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.